For our New Testament reading this morning, please turn to the book of Acts, to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, we're going to read the whole chapter. You'll find that on page 911 in the Bibles provided for you. Acts 3, 1 through 26 on page 911. We've just been looking at the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out on John as we go through the life of the Apostle John and the other disciples. And now we're going to see that empowering of the Holy Spirit in action in Peter and John's ministry here as they encounter this lame man. And here in our passage, we're going to see a lame man, a man who couldn't walk, miraculously healed in Jesus' name, miraculously rejuvenated in Jesus' name. And then we'll read Peter's message that he gave after that. And as I read through there, listen for the theme of life and refreshment and restoration in Peter's message. Life and refreshment and restoration. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 26. This is the word of God. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While he clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the Holy and Righteous One and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses, and his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. Moses said, 'The Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you, and it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people.' And all the prophets who have spoken, from Samuel and those who came after him, also proclaimed these days. You are the sons of the prophets, and of the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, 'And in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed.' God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness." May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word. Forty years of disability, 40 years of begging. 40 years of complete dependence. We know from later on in chapter 4 that this lame man was 40 years old at this point. What did he have to look forward to? He'd been crippled plenty long enough to be resigned to his place in society. What could he look forward to accept a coin here or there, enough maybe to help him pay for food that day, maybe to get some shelter for that night. But what did he really have to look forward to? Peter and John had probably seen this man before. We know from verse 10 that everybody in the temple recognized, after he'd been healed, everyone recognized this man as the one who had been at the temple gate all those years, begging for a little bit of help. And they had seen, Peter and John had seen that dependence, had seen that disability, but now they had new power from the Holy Spirit. They had been sent out to bring the good news of the resurrected Jesus. They were the apostles of the Messiah who had risen from the dead, who himself had died and been in the grave but was alive again. And they'd been sent out by this Savior, the Savior who gives life, who refreshes, who rejuvenates. And so on that day, this man received from them something far better than just another coin, just another little refreshment to carry him through another few hours. He received true rejuvenating, true refreshment. And then Peter took that opportunity, as we read, he went on to take that opportunity to teach about even truer refreshment, even truer new life and restoration that Jesus offers. I encouraged you, as before I read, to listen for that theme of life and refreshment and restoration. And Jesus is called here the author of life. Peter talks about times of refreshing coming from the presence of the Lord. He talks about the restoring of all things. And this miracle was just one little glimpse that crowd got of the refreshing that Jesus does, the restoration that Jesus offers. Maybe you feel a little bit like this lame man today. You're weary. You're broken. Maybe your only hope is maybe a little bit of refreshment today. A little something to get you by for a few more hours. Friends, I would encourage you to ask yourself, have you received the true source of refreshment? Are you just content with little bits of comfort to get you by, or do you want the true answer to your weariness and the true answer to your suffering in this life? Friends, the message for the crowd that day is the same for you and me, and the same for all sinners like us around the world, that if you repent, those times of true refreshing will come from the author of life. So friends, repent so that true times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Repent so that true times of refreshing may come from the Lord. And I'm using the word refreshing here this morning, even though I think it almost seems like too weak of a word. When we talk about refreshments, we usually mean snacks or maybe a glass of water. But I think even that may be an indication of how small our view of refreshment is. That what we're talking about here today is something so much greater than that, a refreshment that is truly rejuvenating. I mean refreshment like this lame man experienced that day. And the first lesson this passage teaches us about refreshment is that we already need refreshment at birth. First of all, we already need refreshment at birth. In verse 2 there, he's called a man who is lame from birth. This is a man with a congenital defect. Even before he was born, his body was already not working properly. It was not forming properly in his mother's womb. It was already suffering the effects of the curse on this creation for our sin against God. His body was not functioning the way that God had created it to. And Luke, who wrote Acts as a doctor, describes his healing not just in terms of him standing up. He mentions the parts of his feet and his ankles that needed to be strengthened. He draws attention to the bodily healing that this man needed, that his feet and his ankles needed to be restored and refreshed for him to be able to walk again, because his feet and his ankles had never been right. He hadn't ever enjoyed good physical health a day of his existence. And the language that's used here is obscured a little bit in being translated the lame from birth. It literally says lame from his mother's womb. I think there's something vivid about that. It's lame from his mother's womb. The womb, the place that is supposed to be that place of perfect nurturing and comfort and peace, Even in the womb, he was touched by the effects of a curse for sin. And we, as a culture, violate the peace and the safety and the nurture of that womb and killing so many of our unborn children, millions of our unborn children. We break we break into that place of safety and comfort for which God will judge our nation. But even without us doing that, the womb is not a place of perfect safety in this cursed world. There are congenital defects, and this man's feet never formed properly. And nothing really brings home the effects of the curse like infant mortality. Congenital issues, things outside of our control. And we see this, it is so outside of our control, even as we've thought this week of our dear friends Zach and Lisa. And their little baby that they didn't know about these birth defects. And they've lost their baby girl after just a couple of days. Friends, this world is not the way God created it to be. We, from the moment we exist, already need that refreshing and rejuvenating and restoration. And our hearts cry out when we see this happen. We cry out, we say, Lord, make this right. Lord, come and refresh and rejuvenate this world. Because this is just one symptom. It's just one symptom of the restoration this world needs. As Paul tells us in Romans 8, beginning of verse 20, he says, for the creation was subjected to futility. He goes on and says, for we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. This whole creation is groaning. We need refreshment from birth. And the Lord has promised that refreshment one day. There are true times of refreshment coming for his people. As Isaiah prophesies in Isaiah 65, 19 and 20, Isaiah 65, 19 and 20, I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. No more shall be heard in it the sound of weeping and the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days. Friends, as you think about what is wrong in your life, what is hard in your life, the suffering that is in your life, keep this curse on the world for sin in the forefront of your mind. Because our culture around us tells us that if we would just do things right, this world would function perfectly. If we did things right, there wouldn't be any natural disasters like we seem to be bringing upon ourselves. If we just left things alone, the world would be just this idyllic place where everything worked properly. And friends, that's just not true. We have already messed up this world. God has placed this creation under a curse for our rebellion against him. And so our hope, as we face that those natural disasters or these genetic defects or things like that, our hope is not that we can somehow fix this problem ourselves. Our only hope is in the God himself who created all those things, the author of life. Seemingly senseless suffering is one of the primary reasons given by the vocal atheists today for why they believe that a good God doesn't exist. You'll often hear them talk about birth defects or talk about natural disasters or fatal accidents, and they say, how can a good God exist if these things happen in our world? But friends, we know why these things happen. We know that this isn't the way the world was created. We know that even though each difficult event is not necessarily connected directly to one particular sin that a person committed involved in that situation, they are all the result of sin and God's curse on this world. And our hope is not, when you see these things in this world and you're brokenhearted about them, don't turn your back on God in those times, but turn to him as the one who does give true healing and true restoration. These people that Peter and John were talking to that day wanted refreshment. They wanted blessings. They wanted to be more comfortable. They wanted to be rejuvenated. But as Peter pointed out to them, they had rejected the very person who refreshes. And that's the second truth that we see in this passage, that we want refreshment, but have rejected the refresher. We want refreshment, but have rejected the refresher. When Peter and John met this man at the gate of the temple, they gave everyone there just a taste of the kind of refreshment that Jesus brings. Picture this scene. Picture what happened that day. This man was sitting there. He was asking for just a little to get him by, a little to keep him going for the day, help him survive with his disability for one more day. And he would have to be carried back there again the next day, and the next day, and the next day, because this was his life. But that's really all he seems to have been hoping for. And the little hints we get to the condition of his mind at this point, you can see maybe hopelessness, or at least certainly a sense of the monotony in this, in the fact that Peter had to tell him to look at him. Here's this man, he's just asked them. It says he asked them for alms, but you can picture him with his head down, not even bothering to look up at the people he was asking. Perhaps out of hopelessness, at least out of the monotony of it. That's all he was expecting. Just head down, please give me a little something. And Peter had to say, look at us. He had to say, look, connect with us here. Look, this is something more important than just this little tiny bit of refreshment that you're looking for. Peter said, I don't have money to give you, but I have something better to give you. What I do have, I give to you. And he took his hand and he raised him up. And in the name of Jesus, true health, true physical healing, true physical restoration was given to that man. And he stood on his feet for the first time in his life. As Peter said in verse 16, the faith that is through Jesus has given this man perfect health in the presence of you all. That's the background then for Peter's message to the people there in the temple. They'd all just seen this happen. Peter was telling them, listen, it's in the name of Jesus that this has happened. Jesus is the refresher. Jesus is the restorer. Jesus is the rejuvenator. And he drives this home in verse 15, where he calls Jesus the author of life. The author of life, the one who made life in the first place, the very origin of all life, the one who has the power to give it again because he's the one who gave it in the first place. And John certainly knew this and learned this well, because later on John would write in John 1, 3, and 4, he would write, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus is the author of life. He's the one who gave all life in the first place. And Peter's saying, look, it's Jesus who gave this man more life, who had restored some of the life that he didn't have. He's the one who made this man's feet and ankles work again, or work for the first time. But then look at the context where Peter talks about the author of life there. Go back to verse 14. Peter's talking to this crowd in the temple, and he tells them, you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life. And there Peter's referring to when the people chose Barabbas over Jesus. Here Pilate gave them the option. He said, I'll release to you one of these men. And here's Jesus, the innocent man, and here's Barabbas, a known thief and murderer. And you hear the irony in Peter's words here when he tells them, you chose, instead of choosing the author of life, the one who gives life, you chose one who took life. Instead of choosing the author of life, you chose a murderer. You chose one who destroys instead of one who refreshes and restores. This healing of this lame man is a real thing that happened in real life. And so I don't want to, by making this a metaphor, I don't want to reduce or take anything away from the reality of what happened. But imagine, think about the fact that the people there on that day really were in the situation of this man. All of us in our sin were in the situation of this man needing to be restored. And so you can picture these people as if they're the lame man sitting there. And Peter is telling them, Jesus came to you. The author of life came to you. And he offered to raise you up, and you rejected him. It would be as if when Peter had taken this man's hand to raise him up, as if he had pushed Peter away. And not just pushed him away, had attacked him and even killed him. That's what Peter is telling them that they did. He said, the author of life came to you, and you chose a murderer over him, and you killed him. They wanted the benefits of being in the temple. They wanted that small change. They wanted the comforts of this life, but they wanted nothing to do with the one who actually gave those things. They wanted nothing to do with true healing from the Savior himself. They wanted to reject the author of life while still enjoying some of the daily benefits of life. That's why I'm saying we wanted refreshment, but we've rejected the refresher. Now, it's easy for us to look back on that and point the finger and say, well, yeah, how could they have picked Barabbas over Christ? How could they choose a murderer over Jesus? Because this crowd, these literal people, literally did that. That is certainly something they actually did in their lives. But friends, isn't that what humanity has done since the very first moment that Adam and Eve sinned? We have chosen a murderer over the author of life. Revelation 9 calls Satan Abaddon and Apollyon, destruction and the destroyer. And in that moment when Eve chose to eat that fruit, she was choosing refreshment and choosing the side of the murderer, of the destroyer, and rejecting the refresher, rejecting the giver of life, the author of life. And friends, every time that you and I sin, every time we say, I'm doing this because I want to, even though God says it's wrong, you are trying to get refreshment without the refresher. You're choosing the murderer over the author of life. How do you see this in your own heart? Think back on this week. This week in particular, look back on the last 7 days. Think about the times that you have chosen, that you chose to do what was wrong because it felt good, because it was easier, because you needed a break, because you were worn out, because it seemed too hard to do what was right. Maybe that person got on your nerves again, was irritating you again, and you snapped at them, you attacked them, you hurt them to get them to stop. Or maybe you lied to them to get away from them. Or maybe you were exhausted and you felt entitled to some physical refreshment, and you knew that lusting with your eyes is committing adultery, but you kept looking at that screen because you felt like you needed it, even though you know that you were doing what God hates. And you know that God has said, don't get drunk with wine. But you felt like you needed to escape the pain of this week, and so you had a few extra drinks and kept having a few more drinks, or you smoked that joint, or you popped those pills. Because you wanted refreshment. But to do it, you had to turn your back on the refresher himself. And we could go on and on. Friends, I don't know what all secret struggles each of you has. Maybe for you fathers out there, you're exhausted and you really haven't led your family in reading God's word or praying together all week, but you're too tired and you need refreshment, right? This isn't just sins of things you do. It's a failure to do what you should do. It's sins of omission as well when we turn our back on the refresher because we think we need refreshment. Friends, be honest with yourself. Examine your life. Where do you go for refreshment in this life? And do you have to turn your back on God to do it? Well, the good news in this passage is that Peter doesn't stop there in verse 15. He could have just delivered this guilty verdict. They were guilty. They had done this to Christ. But he went on to give them the choice to be truly refreshed. And that forgiveness and that restoration requires repentance. And with what we've learned here already about refreshment in mind, thirdly, repent and be refreshed in your Messiah's name. Repent and be refreshed in your Messiah's name. Look at verse 19 there. Peter says, repent and turn back. These are the only two commands in the whole message here. The only two imperatives. Repent and turn back. And then he gives reasons for why you should repent and turn back. He gives three reasons. He says, first, that your sins may be blotted out. Then he says, secondly, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Then thirdly, that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus. And he goes on to talk about how Christ is remaining in heaven until the time for the restoring of all things. So he says, repent so that you will be forgiven for your sins. Repent so that there will be times of refreshing. And repent so that one day Jesus will come back and bring full restoration to all things. And Peter is, remember, he's standing there next to this man who has just been healed. And he's saying to them, look, do you see what just happened here? Do you see what just happened to this lame man? This perfect health is just one part. It's just one shadowy part of the kind of restoration and healing that Jesus brings. He says, if you repent, even sinners like those people there on that day who had chosen Barabbas over Christ, even sinners like you and me, will receive full restoration if we will repent for our sins and return to the Lord. Peter's telling him this is what the name of Jesus does. This is what Jesus, God's Messiah, does. But it wasn't just the miracle that Peter used to assure the people that they could be forgiven. To assure them that they could be forgiven, Peter pointed back to the Old Testament. He knew that he was dealing with people who knew the Word of God, who knew the Old Testament. And so we won't go through all the details of it here, but there is this message is chock full of references to the Old Testament. Even before he gets to quoting Deuteronomy, he's especially using the language of the book of Isaiah. And so your assignment for this week, I encourage you to read Isaiah chapters 49 to 55. Just read one chapter each day. Maybe read, if you live with family, read it together. Read each of those chapters about the servant that God was sending, these prophecies about Jesus, and notice all the same kinds of language that are in Peter's speech here. This idea of his servant, of the one who will restore, of your sins being blotted out, of turning back. And because at the end of that time, those sections on the servant there in Isaiah 55 that I read earlier, the final message there is a message of restoration. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Peter's reminding them, this has always been the plan. This has been the message all the way along of this coming Messiah who would restore. And the message has always been, repent and be restored. Turn away from your sin and turn to the Lord and receive restoration, receive rejuvenation, receive this refreshment. And he drives it home at the end of his message here, there in verse 25, saying, you are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers. He's saying, this is what it's always been. There's always been this message of repent and be restored. And so he's telling them, you haven't heard it up to this point, but hear it now. Because God has sent his Son now and has made this salvation possible because Jesus is the suffering servant who took our place. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. Peter calls them, repent and receive true life. And at the risk of overextending this metaphor of the people being like this lame man, imagine then that, as I've said, that they were offered this healing from Jesus. He came up to them and he gave them the chance to be lifted up, and they pushed him away and they even attacked him, knocked him down. And Peter's telling them, Jesus has risen again and he's come back to you again with mercy. He's come back to you and offers you refreshment, offers you life, even though you have sinned against him. Repent, and I will erase your sins, blot them out. I will send times of refreshment. Now, how do you do this? What does it mean to repent? What does it really mean to repent? Peter uses the Old Testament language of turning. Whenever repentance is referenced in the Old Testament, it's often referred to as turning. 180-degree turn. So you're facing one direction, you're heading one direction, and you turn away from it and turn back towards the Lord. Kids, what do you guys do when you face something that's really scary that's maybe going to hurt you? You realize it might hurt you. What do you usually do? Right? You get out of there, right? You go the opposite direction, right? You run the opposite direction to get away from it. When we were at camp this summer, Emmett was playing with some sand toys that apparently hadn't been played with in a little while, and I heard him scream, and I turned back, and there were wasps swarming around him that had been inside the toys. And so when we figured out what was going on, we booked it and we ran the opposite direction, and God tried to get as far away as we could from those wasp filled toys. And Sin looks fun. Sin tells you it'll be great. Sin tells you you'll be refreshed. It tells you you'll be comfortable. But there comes a moment when you understand from God's word that it is full of wasps and it is going to kill you. And when you realize that about sin, you turn the opposite direction and you run. And not just away from it, you turn towards the one who can heal you. You run towards the one who can help you and save you from that sin. That's what repentance means. It's a total change of direction. You turn away from that sin and you ask for forgiveness from the Lord and you commit, you resolve to do differently. You seek that forgiveness through Christ. Now you may tell me, well, I have repented over and over again my whole life and I still don't feel very refreshed. I've been repenting for sin my whole life and I still suffer and I'm still weary and I'm still broken. And that's really, it's really a topic for a whole other sermon, and a whole another study to work through some of that. But it's important to remember that this, even here, Peter makes reference to the fact that this restoration doesn't happen all at once for everyone. Certainly the thief on the cross got to be in paradise with Jesus the very first day he believed. What a gift. But for most of you, for many of us, God has called us to live for a lifetime on this earth with our outer nature wasting away. Our physical body's not being fully refreshed, but he does promise your inner nature is being renewed day by day. Your inner nature, your spirit will be spiritually refreshed. There is true spiritual refreshment to be had in this life. And there are true physical refreshments that we have in this life that God gives us that are gifts to sustain us. We enjoy those physical refreshments, but our hope is that because your sins are blotted out, you will enjoy full physical and spiritual refreshment one day with the Lord. Even if it seems like a long time before we get there. Now, this message of refreshment comes with a warning as well. Peter tells him, repent and you'll be refreshed. But Peter also says here, fourthly, refuse and lose what refreshment you have. He says, refuse and lose what refreshment you have. Look at verses 22 and 23 here. Peter quotes from Deuteronomy chapter 18. And in Deuteronomy 18, this is Moses' final sermon to his people, final message to his people. Deuteronomy is really Moses' final message to the people of Israel before he died. And in that message, Moses told them to look for another prophet like him, that the Lord would send another prophet like him. And this is Peter's reminding them that this is speaking of Jesus. Jesus is their Messiah, the promised prophet like Moses. But then he goes on and quotes the warning that Moses gave. In verse 23, every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. And Peter's telling them here, he's reminding them, this offer of refreshment from the Lord, from Jesus, is not just a take it or leave it kind of offer. It's not just kind of a nice upgrade to your life. Hey, if you have Jesus, your life will be a little more refreshed. When God sends his prophet, and when he sends his own son, if you reject him, Peter says here, you will be destroyed. And to come back to our lame man in the temple metaphor again, if the crowd is the lame man and Jesus had offered to heal them, Peter's telling them, if you keep rejecting him, you can't stay in this temple. Or it won't be good news for you staying here in this temple. He says, you can't go on enjoying those little benefits that you want to enjoy without Christ. You want to keep him at arm's length, but keep receiving those gold and silver coins of God's blessings in this life. And he says, you can't keep doing that forever. All those little refreshments that we enjoy in this life that are gifts from God, they are gifts from God. They're one things that he chooses to give us. Those little joys of life, that cup of coffee, or that sunset, or that vacation, or that friendship, or all those little things that we enjoy in this life that we like to think we can keep God at arm's length and enjoy these things. And he's telling us, you can't hold on to those things. Because what would happen to that temple eventually? Less than 40 years later, this temple would be a burning pile of rubble. Peter's telling them, If this lame man had refused to be healed, he would have still been there. He might have still been there on that day and been destroyed along with that temple. And he's telling them, if you want to try to keep enjoying the blessings from God and being God's people, but you want nothing to do with his Messiah, those blessings won't keep going on forever. And those gold and silver coins will dry up and this temple will come down. in fiery destruction on top of you. Because you can't go on enjoying those good things from the Lord forever and keeping him at arm's length. They wanted those alms, but not the healing itself. And there did come a day when God's judgment came on the city of Jerusalem. Friends, hear this warning from God's word. Most of you here today are members of the church, of a church or this church. You are members of the visible people of God, and you enjoy the blessings of being part of the visible people of God. And you maybe have received help and support, alms, from your brothers and sisters in Christ who've supported you financially or given you many other blessings of being part of this community. But friends, are you content with just those temporary blessings? Are you trying to enjoy those blessings without receiving full and true healing from Jesus? Are you trying to keep your head down and say, no, thank you, Jesus, I don't want you, just give me the good stuff. Just give me the good things in this life. I don't want anything to do with you, I just want the good things. Friends, those comforts won't last. Those refreshments will not go on forever. And if that day comes, if that is where you are, and if you continue in that way, if that day comes when Jesus comes back and you say to him, well, didn't I go to church? Didn't I put that money in the offering? Didn't I sing the Psalms every week? If you have never truly repented for your sin, he will look at you and say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Friends, don't be content with just the refreshments of life, the comforts of life, if you don't have the refresher himself. Those refreshments will be taken away one day, and there will be no comfort left. And so take Jesus' hand. Take his hand and stand up on those legs that have never worked before. Receive that refreshment. Receive that true new life. Become a new creation in Christ, because he has offered that freely. He says to me, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Leave behind that sin. Leave behind the sinful life that you have been wallowing in. Stand up and be healed and be refreshed. Cling to him. And even though that refreshment will not come all at once for every one of us, look forward to that day when you will taste the river of the water of life and eat from the tree of life, whose leaves are for the healing of the nations. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for your great mercy and your patience. That when you sent your messengers to these people in the temple, these people who had crucified your son, you had every right to just send them in judgment, but you sent them with a message of mercy. And you had every right to come to us in judgment for our sins against you long ago. But you have sent us your word and this free offer of eternal life through Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray for any person here this morning who does not know Jesus Christ, who has not been spiritually healed by Jesus Christ, that you would turn their hearts to yourself, that you would refresh, that you would renew. And for those here who do believe, Lord, please fill us with hope, with confidence in your promise that this refreshment, this full restoration will come one day. And help us to love and serve you with a full commitment, not seeking just to be refreshed while keeping you at arm's length, but seeking refreshment from you as the giver of all good gifts. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.